Wait for it. Wait for it. And we're live. Hey, all you crazy sci-fi and fantasy fans. It's time for your daily dose of shenanigans over here at the Blasters and Blades podcast. Just a couple of nerdy veterans geeking out over our science fiction passions and fantastical fantasies. A place where magic is king, the sky is the limit, and space is the place. We are the podcast that puts the fun in dysfunction, especially when we have the chaos coordinator absent because she's packing, so she can't tell us no today. She's not here. Mwah! All right, wow. And for guests, we had a bunch of people come down with the seasonal cruds, so it's just us and the wonderful, the one, the only, Mr. JT Errol. I'm butchering that last name.
It's JT Errol.
Errol. I still probably butchered it. We're going to just move on and pretend I got it right. Nickel edited in post, I'm sure. All right, so this part of the introduction, dear listener, dear viewer, would have been a lot funnier if there was actually a group of us, but we're still going to rock on with it anyway, because I wrote the damn thing. So we all actually met when we were all in WITSEC together. We were part of a group of expert witnesses testifying about the horrific practices of putting pineapples on pizzas. We had to stop it, but the mafia, known as Big Pizza, was out for blood to stop the truth from getting out, and so that's where we met. Eventually, we overcame. The world is now aware of those horrors, and so we were able to come out of hiding, and it's glorious. We get our names back and everything.
Yeah, we took down the pepperoni crime family.
And now we're going to get the hate mail. So in the end, we'll tell you how to send it to Stabby. She will love to get your pepperoni on pizza hate mail. I'm sure it will tickle her nice Italian little heart. Wait, have we verified that she has a heart?
Yeah. Yeah, if she didn't have one, I wouldn't have married her, but...
Okay, just making sure. I mean, she has threatened to stab me a lot, so I just, you never know.
She's notice how passionate. He said that. He looked over his shoulder.
All right, so he has answered all of the religion questions, so I'm just going to ask you, what have you been drinking today? Coffee, tea, what? What's on the cup for the daily?
Unfortunately, boring old water.
Yeah, I'm doing that too. It got me on some new medicine, and it makes me drink all the freaking time. And I'm still thirsty. Those jerks.
Yep.
I tried to convince my doctor that coffee was like water. It was just like water blessed by the gods, but he didn't go for it.
Nah, they're hard to convince. Dang healthcare.
He used to be a before he was a doc. He was infantry. He was light infantry like me. Made it to staff sergeant, and decided to go the green to gold route. And he's older than me, so he likes to quote the "I was there in the beginning of the shenanigans. Don't try your tricks on me." He
probably wrote some of them.
Yeah, probably when he knows you were a grunt too, like he turns off all attempts at bedside manner, and it's just like, hey. He likes to tell me to get the sand out of my lady parts, which now that everything's co-ed in the infantry, I'm not sure that's an expression you could probably get away with anymore, but it was a different time. So I still remember
I was in, there were still men in the infantry.
Yeah, wall-to-wall counseling solved a lot of problems.
Sure did.
And everyone's like, that's abuse. And I'm like, no, taking my pay for a month and locking me up in the barracks with all the extra duty. Now that was torture. Yeah. My ass once and let me move on. I'm good with that. Lesson learned. Yeah. Don't cost me a thing.
In the woods. Beat the hell out of me, and then everything's good. We don't need to be doing no 45 and 45.
Exactly.
And 2.5 months pay.
When they took their blouse off and the rank came off, there was always the slim, minuscule chance that you could win. I mean, at least I never won, but there was the chance. In theory, it could have happened.
I mean, you at least had the opportunity.
Good licks in, too, before they kicked the crap out of you.
Yeah, they generally did, mostly because they were just messing with you.
Yeah. And give you that that semblance of hope that you could actually win this fight and not get extra duty, and then
before they crush it.
Yeah, you start getting a little twinkle in your eye, like, oh my god, I'm winning, and they smile, wipe the blood off their chin, and they're like, you were never winning.
Yep, that sounds about right. Or if you really make them mad, which happened once. Because they had to come get me, and then I puked in the platoon sergeant's car. That was not a good day. After they held me down and beat the snot out of me, then they're like, anybody else want to, I'll hold them in place. So several of the sergeants got theirs in. That was
Oh yeah, they come out of the wood line. Then they just
I'm like, where'd you
stomping a mud hole in you?
We were supposed to be on our own over here settling this like men. But no,
anyway. If you find yourself in a fair fight, your tactics suck. That's what they told me.
Pretty much. Because
I had that same look when like two of his buddies come out of the wood line to throw some licks in too. And I'm like, oh, man.
It's even worse though when the person kicking your backside is like so much older than you that in theory just youth should have given you an upper hand. And it doesn't work out.
It made it easier for me to survive the encounter is what it did.
Yeah, but they had learned tricks we hadn't yet. So that was, and then the interesting is that was the sergeant that did that. The platoon sergeant was the one who pinned my stripes on. And he was like 6'4". He was a lineman before he got hurt his knee and joined the army. The dude was a bruiser. And like he took the what do you call those little, the frogs off the back of the rank pad and just slammed it in. Which it hurt, but it also made it numb, so I didn't feel everyone else that followed. So maybe he was doing me a favor.
Probably. Those blood bites hurt.
Yeah, I don't know if they probably don't do that anymore either.
They did it when I was in.
Back in the old days. All right. So let's get into
BDUs.
Those were God's camouflage pattern right there, is the BDUs. All right, so we're here, ladies, gentlemen, viewers of all stripes and sizes, to talk about the Destiny video game franchise. JT is a fan and suggested it since we have recently recorded Halo, which will air after this, but we thought it'd be fun. So I know of the Destiny franchise. I've seen a lot of the videos of the how to plays. I followed some of the controversy on the first launch. But I didn't have time when it came out to play. And then I was told it was crack and I should avoid it because it would make you addicted. So we've got JT to come out of recovery and help us talk about this this game franchise. So first, how did you find it?
So I'm an avid gamer, obviously. Back in the 90s, I was a game developer and knew a lot of people in the industry. And I got some industry magazines and publications that I followed that started talking about it early on. So I started following it and then found out that the original developers of Halo, actually the studio that developed Destiny. And so since they had been so good with Halo, I figured that they would be good with Destiny. And so I wanted to take a look at it and loved the game from the first moment I played it.
Nice. Did it live up to the hype?
Almost nothing ever lives up to the hype, but this got pretty close.
Okay.
It's one of those things that they were, if not the definer of the genre, they were one of the ones that was setting the curve on what became known as a looter shooter.
Yeah. So Destiny, I just... Like to keep it simple, Destiny is an online multiplayer first-person shooter video game series developed by Bungie and previously published by Activision. The series is now self-published by Bungie after separating from Activision in 2019. It was their first console, Destiny's first console series was first one since Halo, which is like he said, a lot of the same developers. It's set in a mythic science fiction world, which is, like I said, a shared world. You can do player versus player settings, player versus the environment, or you know the AI, and it's sort of a combination of like Call of Duty, and Halo. I think is the as far as the type of play.
Yeah, a lot of the match settings are very similar to the things you'll find in Halo.
Okay,
and a little bit of like the older Unreal Tournament type stuff. Some of that was in there.
Okay. So what is it that hooked you as far as it goes?
I'm a writer, so the story was the big part. The setting and the story is unique in what they were trying to accomplish with it. On first release, the story wasn't exactly as deep as it is now with, I think, what is it, 4 or 5 expansions that they put out for just the first game. But they really worked well with what they had. This is something that I really praise Bungie for, is that from early on, even like in their Halo series, one of the first things that they did is they made sure they had actual writers on staff for their stories. And they didn't leave it up to last minute, come up with some ideas around a, you know, huddled around a table with 25 developers that couldn't write a story for the life of them.
Okay. How much of the story fits into the actual gameplay, or is it something you had to develop or find outside of it?
So a lot of the story is developed or is delivered in the gameplay when you're going through just playing campaign stuff. Campaign missions and dailies and things like that are, after a while, it gets repetitive for what you're doing. But your first time through, you actually get the cutscenes in the story. And as you're going through the levels, you see all of the world building that was done in the story in the level itself. So you come across the things like the war mines, and you just see these massive computer brain installations and realize that this gigantic thing was a war mine that controlled only one small aspect of the battle of what they were fighting way back whenever the world was still whole.
The dogs are smoking. They like it too.
I thought it was mine for a second. I'm like, wait a minute.
I've got three upstairs, and they apparently see somebody outside. Probably one of my daughters coming home from work.
So I've watched the playthroughs. I will say that the original complaint was that it was all visually stunning. The open world was great, but there was no, like, the missions were very repetitive. Go to place, open door, waves of enemy, rinse and repeat, and there wasn't much there. It's, you know, obviously it didn't live up to the hype. I understand that was addressed in later episodes,
right? Yes. So the initial mechanics were very basic. It's like you had five or six different things that you had to do, actions that you could take, and they made the missions by kind of slapping them together in different orders and different numbers of them. And it just became very formulaic. Once you hit certain areas, you knew that you had to look for a specific thing, like the Fallen have this kind of eye type robot thing with them. I forget what they're called. But you know that you have to kill that first before you can take out the big bad. And then once you kill that, then you can go open a door and then you go to the next area and, oh, look, you have to do the same thing. So that got very old quickly.
Okay. The cool thing about it, though, was how awesome the actual, like, everything just looked. Like, yes. It was like a living painting that moved as you moved.
Yes, the graphics on the set design, the detail that they put into all of the work was amazing. It was beautiful, but that can only take you so far.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, it's got to be entertaining, and that was one of the things when I watched, because I had never played it in preparation for this episode. I watched a lot of the fan type commentary stuff. I read some of the Destinypedia and the wiki. And that was one of the things that they said. It was the players, even in the beginning when it was kind of sucky, were torn because it was so visually stunning. The lore was so deep, although they had to go outside of the game to find it, that they wanted to know more. But the gameplay itself was kind of sucky, grindy kind of setup that they just had to endure to get the rest that they really liked, which is saying a lot.
Yeah. And that is one thing that I enjoyed about it, was that the lore and some of the later missions really kept me coming back. And the fact that, like I said, it's a looter shooter. So one of the interesting things is the more people in your group, the harder things get. And so you wanted to really fill up your group as much as possible to get the better loot, because the harder the monsters are that you're killing, the better loot drops. So you try to maximize all of your returns by filling up everything, like all your empty slots and whatnot. Sometimes it worked. Most times, there's a reason we call them pugs, pickup groups, because the coordination is just not there. And when you hit some of the harder missions, man, you get wiped out fast.
So did they have a lot of guilds that built around those missions, like you saw with like World of Warcraft, where you would game with the same group on a schedule?
So sort of yes and no. A lot of people would build friends, and you would get some clans that were forming. Not too many early on, but much later when they really refined the social aspect of the game. you had some clans that were completely geared around the multiplayer PvP aspects, and they would go into matches or whatever and train specifically on the maps just so that they could make sure that they understood what points they had to hold, or if it was a crucible, man, it was just a free-for-all. Okay. Then Destiny introduced the Iron Banner events, and that was a lot of fun. That was all pure PvP, but it was kind of like they took the regular PvP and just ramped it up.
Okay. Were you in any of those clans?
Or did you no, unfortunately, I was not that good of a player.
What kind of classes do you have? Is it just, you know, sniper, medic, tank kind of thing, or what was the breakdown?
So it breaks down more along the lines of knight, which is kind of your tank, and then you have a mage class, which is more along the lines of like support, stealth and whatnot, as well as they're squishy, so they do a lot of damage, but they die quick unless they're protected. And then you had your third one, which is a little bit more versatile. I'm trying to remember if there was a fourth. I played some of the multiplayer a few times, but usually I'd get kicked off or out of the rounds after, you know, 10 or 15 deaths in a row on the matches and losses and whatnot.
Okay. It's not breaking it down on their website. I just figured I'd check real quick. But yeah, like I said, the visuals were really stunning. It has that, if you've seen Skyrim, the way the open world there is, it has some of those vibes, but it was like, instead of Skyrim obviously feels like fantasy, this was like space opera version of it with the way they did the graphics.
Yes, so it was a very post-apocalyptic setting. You'd go through and you'd see giant buildings on their side torn open. In fact, the opening cinematic on Destiny 1 is fantastic, where they have what they call the ghost, is this little robotic thing that has a little fragment of what they call light inside of it, that is their version of spiritual essence of some sort. And this thing flies all around scanning all kinds of different things until it finds a patch of ground that it scans and says, oh, there you are. And then it spawns you as part of your tutorial on how to play the game. And it just, the setting is amazing because where it finds you is basically on what looks like some kind of a connector highway with all kinds of rusted out cars that are decayed. The ground is overgrown a bit. And it looks like a city that once was thriving that you can tell is just dead. The level of detail they put in that was amazing.
That's you know, that's the trick with games. It's got to kind of be the ability to tell a compelling story. The gameplay has to be fun, but it has to be visually appealing too because of the medium. And if you don't keep all three of those legs kind of even, the chair gets wobbly.
Right. Which explains exactly how hard of a job the game developers back in the 80s and 90s for the RPGs had it, because they didn't have the visuals.
Yeah. Yeah, it made the story even more important.
Yeah, story rich environment.
Right.
Did you have a question, Nick? I saw you mention in the side chat.
Oh, yeah, because I think there's books involved, like books based on the Destiny universe world. Did you ever read any of those?
I did not. In fact, I didn't find out about them until recently, but apparently there's like 5 anthologies.
Well, it was one of those games I was warned about, not because it was bad, because it was so good, you know? And I was like just deep into doing my comic book thing, and I'm like, I don't need any distractions because I'm a gamer myself, so I know I can get lost in a game for months, you know, and I'm like, oh wait, I had an issue due and I totally forgot about it because I was playing this game. Yep. So, and I was warned about that, about Destiny, and they're like, hey, are you playing Destiny? And I'm like, no, I haven't played yet. I'm like, oh dude, it's gonna eat up all your time. And I'm like, well, that's not gonna sell for me right now because I got other things that I'm trying to get done. But it got hyped up pretty good from my friends that were playing it. Like, oh, you got to play this game. It's so awesome. You know, it just sucks you in. And next thing you know, like months have gone by. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. I can't do that right now.
Yeah, Destiny was definitely a productivity killer.
Yes, speaking of productivity killer, I'm going to give you a recommendation, dear listener, dear viewer, for an excellent book. And we're going to roll that beautiful bean footage.
Humanity will be free, no matter the cost. Deep in the Guatemalan jungle, buried beneath a forgotten Mayan pyramid, an earth-shattering secret sits waiting. Its discovery will rip apart the illusion that humanity is alone in the universe. Engaged in a life-and-death struggle for the future of mankind, Harry Rogers and Jess Cook are forced to protect the secret from the most despicable foes imaginable. They must race across the globe to complete Liberty Station, the first true interplanetary ship. Only then can they search for the shocking truth behind what they found. They have no room for error, because failure means death for them, and subjugation for everyone else. Presenting Liberty Station, Book 1 of Humanity Unlimited, written by Terry Mixon. Purchase your copy on Amazon, and learn more about the author and his works at terrymixon.com.
Hopefully he survived his wife's surgery, because Terry's wife was getting eye surgery, and he's joking all over social media that he's going to wear a gorilla mask and convince her that's what he looks like when she can see finally. Sounds like something Nick would do, which is why I thought it was funny. Well, I mean, you do live creatively. That's what we'll call it. So you mentioned
that's one way to put it.
I'm trying to be charitable. So you said you checked while we were on the commercial break. What were those classes again?
Right. So the Titan is the tank. This is the one that has the highest armor, gets up in the face of the bad guys and tries to keep their attention. And then you have a support class of a warlock, which is the mage. And they use like psychic powers to do their magic. But then like each one of the classes has two subclasses that you can go into, and they've actually added far more than that since they've done the expansions. But the third class is the Hunter. And this is like your rogue or your stealth class that gets in there and would do things like getting behind the enemy to attack them or flank them while the tank is trying to keep their attention and do that extra damage.
But did you have a favorite class?
A Hunter.
What is it about the Hunter that speaks to you as a gamer?
I like the stealth modes. Like the Hitman series was one of my favorites. The Thief series was the one that defined the stealth genre of games. So I've always enjoyed those. And the Hunter class just kind of, you know, naturally flowed into that. And then the subclasses off that, you had Gunslinger and Blade Dancer, and those were the initial two that were great. I enjoyed those a lot because of the extra abilities that it gave you and the cool effects.
Did you start with the Hunter, or did you try them all and then decide you like that better?
I have a character for each one of the classes, but I played my Hunter most.
Okay. That's I like to play the tank mostly because I'm all for just getting in there and mashing buttons. I don't want to have to think too hard when I'm playing. Like, I like to just
mashers.
Yeah, I like to be able to just like veg out and just like, you know, chill and not have to think too much. You know, if I'm gonna think too much, I just go ahead and read a book.
Right. Or watch a movie.
Or watch a movie, yeah. The lore stuff, do you normally, when you play, like obviously you had to work for it in the beginning with Destiny, but is that something you normally get interested in, or do you mostly just go with whatever is in the game?
So it depends on my first impressions off of the game. So there are some games that really kind of play up the lore and the depth of them. Like you'll look at Legend of Zelda for one. The lore on that is incredibly deep if you dig into it. But you could also just stay at the upper levels of it and not worry too much about it if you don't want to, and just enjoy what you're being presented. There are other games, though, that knowing the lore actually helps. Me, I'm just a nerd for story. And so if I find that there's actual lore that exists to enhance my experience with the game, I will go find that.
Okay.
What was the first game you ever played?
Like ever?
Yeah, as a gamer.
We're going all the way back to Atari 400.
Let's okay. do it. It's going the way back machine, man.
I mean, most people that had those systems obviously played Adventure. That was one of the first ones. I did have an old TV that played only Pong.
Nice.
I got my first computer over in Japan when I was a kid. And I remember playing a lot of like Miner 2049er, Star Raiders. Defender came later after we got the 800. The original version of Wolfenstein was fun on the 800. Oh, yeah.
In the beginning, the bodies would disappear, so you couldn't tell where you'd been. But then the later versions, they left the bodies, and you could just, oh, I've been here, because there's a trail of dead Nazis. Right.
So this is like pixel art, not 3D at all. This is like the original, like 80s version of Wolfenstein, where your guy standing there looks like a drawn sprite of like a stick figure, and your gun just kind of sticks off to the side, whichever side you're aimed on.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. The Temple of Abshai was a great series, though. That was a lot of fun.
I used to play Pitfall because my grandmother had the old Atari in her den that we would all play when we go to visit, and she had Pitfall and Frogger.
Yep, I had both of those.
Frogger was awesome.
I used to play the old Infocom games, though. That was like text adventure. You had to type what you were doing.
Yeah.
The Frogger was the one that my grandfather always used to, Grandpa Hanley always used to try to get us to go out and play Frogger in traffic. But luckily, we weren't. I wonder what he would have done if he actually went and tried it. Like, I bet Grandma would have stopped him. Maybe. Depends on how much she liked us that day.
When the NCOs would get like drunk in the barracks on a Friday night, they'd wake us all up to play Space Invaders. So we had trash can lids, our earth, wind, and fire goggles, and our Kevlar helmets. And so we'd line up in a line and do, 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 and they'd chuck beer bottles at us. And then after they had way too many beers, they'd pass out in their little chairs they brought into the hallway. And then we had to go put them to bed after chubbing their toothbrushes. I mean, I chubbed their toothbrushes. little petty revenge. Put them to bed, and we had to clean up all the broken glass and then buff the floor and all that stuff. Yeah. And we'd finally get to sleep about 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And they got so blitzed, they had no idea. But that was their favorite game when they had too much to drink on a Friday, Saturday night.
Nice.
Privates, get out of the hallway, playing Space Invaders. And we're like, oh. So you really made sure that you were somewhere else on Friday and Saturday nights.
That's the plan. So what was the first Destiny game you picked up? Did you start with one?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely started with one. I purchased like the whatever the elite package was back then that gave me 3 days early access to the game.
Nice.
Do you think Bungie's going to be able to revive it and get it going again? There's been talk on and off that they were going to get another version out, but then it always kind of fizzled.
Yeah, that's going to depend on it. One of the things that was really unique about Destiny is that it was, like I said, if not the first, it was one of the best at the time of the looter shooters. And now you have a bunch of different ones that have come. Some have been hyped up so much that when they hit the market and actually completely flopped, it kind of left a sour taste for that style of game for a little bit. So we'd have to see. Destiny's going to have to really lean into the core successes of what they do that makes them so good, and then try to capitalize on that.
So was, given that it was a loot drop, was this one of those games that did the microtransactions where they try to bleed you dry financially?
In the first one, it wasn't too bad. From what I recall, there was a little bit of that, but not a lot. They leaned into it a little bit, quite a bit more in Destiny 2, but not near as bad as some of the other games.
Yeah, because there's a lot of games, like Fortnite's one of them. Call of Duty is now one of them. Where
any game from EA.
Yeah. Yeah, which is unfortunate. With the exception of, Jedi Survivor and those ones, but...
Yeah, anything that's got any kind of microtransactions from EA, it's going to be everywhere in the game.
Yeah, so if you want to be more competitive, with people that you're playing online with and you actually want to win, you got to spend the money, unfortunately. So,
right, which is one of the things that really sucked is that when they introduce pay-to-win mechanics, it kills the game.
It does. And I've been a sucker for it in the past, usually because too much bourbon and too many rounds of me getting wasted by a 12-year-old who's talking crap, And I'm like, okay, because you know what you don't have, kid? You don't have adult money. I do. And I'm going to go spend some of that adult money.
So I forget which company it was, but it was a patent that floated up. I think it was Sony that, one second.
So while he's doing that, Nick, are you think you'll ever come and give it a chance, give Destiny a chance, not the comic
books? Yeah, because Xbox has a really cool thing called Game Pass. So it's like a subscription, but it gives you access to 100-some-odd games, that are free to play. And you can either download it to your system or you can play it on their version of the cloud. So I found a lot of great games in doing that. And Destiny has popped up. I think both of them on their Destiny and Destiny 2 are on Game Pass. So, I mean, now that I'm recovering, I'm in recovery mode and I don't have really much to do. Drawing Hand doesn't still do what I wanted to do. So I need something that, and it's funny too, my doctors suggested, hey, do you play games? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a huge gamer. He's like, yeah, do that, to recover your eye-hand coordination and fine motor skills.
Yeah, they actually recommend that at the TBI clinic when I was both at Walter Reed and when I came home from there.
Well, it's like I was playing Call of Duty the night before I had the stroke. So when my friends, because I don't care what you say, your online friends are, especially your gamer friends, I've been gamer friends with some of these guys for 15 years. They're as close to me as my regular friends that I see every day. And they're like, you had a stroke, dude? Man, we were just playing last night. I'm like, I know. So
it's your fault because you missed the button. You missed that shot. It's your fault.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like, we totally lost that match because that must have been a pre-stroke indicator. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So, but yeah, gaming is, I'm like, hey, I need a doctor's note for that. Maybe I can do it at work.
I actually had the doc at Walter Reed actually wrote me a script to play Skyrim because it was both you had to think because it was a RPG.
Yeah.
But you also had to use the controllers, which makes it a mid-body exercise. And I would use that a lot. And the wife would be like, hey, honey, come do the dishes. I'm like, nope, following doctor's orders.
it's really weird having a 20-minute gaming conversation with your neurologist.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, what are you, a console guy? I'm like, no, I'll do PC too. I mean, even though it's a Mac, I'll do PC. I've turned my Mac into a NES generator. I found a USB old NES controller. Well, it looks like it's the old NES controller and plugs into the USB. The Super Nintendo, I haven't gotten that one yet.
Yep.
I started plugging my old Xbox controllers because it's Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. I can hook it up to my computer on Bluetooth. And so now I'm playing Neo Geo games, things like that.
Yep.
Me and that neurologist, we had a conversation. I'm like, no, I'll play console, I'll play PC. I was a huge City of Heroes fan back in the day. You know, I loved that game. And that was all, you know, keyboard and mouse, and my fights were that way. So.
Yeah, that's one of those things everyone considers it just a waste of time. You see, if you follow, like, modern culture, oh, if a guy plays video games, he's not grown up. And I'm like, man, shut your mouth. Let us have a hobby.
But I have adult money, so that makes it okay. That's absolutely. Also why I have a life-size biker scout stormtrooper in my living room.
But you know? The doctors will even tell you there is – I mean, obviously, you can't do nothing but – you got to get exercise in. You got to, you know, maintain your weight. But it's not as unhealthy as they used to make you believe it was when they didn't want you to.
Oh, yeah. Back whenever I was a game developer, it was when the attorney in California – who was absolutely anti-game, was going after all the violent video games and filing all those frivolous lawsuits. That was the height of his career. It was right there in the 90s. Yeah, and he was one of the ones that drove a lot of that mentality.
Like, I don't think so, man.
Yeah, really? And he was definitely proven wrong.
Yeah, wasn't it Nancy Reagan who went after games and music too?
She did the music thing. She was during the whole satanic panic in the 80s.
Right. And made a lot of those bands a lot of money.
People would buy in protest.
I saw them on the news and I'm like, huh, I think I'm going to go try. You guys know anything about Slayer? Or Pantera?
It's the Streisand. Kind of cool. Streisand was Streisand, basically.
Yep.
You know, I'm listening to Ozzy Osbourne at, like, you know, 12 years old, and everyone else is like listening to, like, New Kids on the Block, and I'm like, nah, man, you gotta try Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. You gotta try Metallica, man. This stuff's awesome.
Nice. So does Destiny have a good soundtrack score with it when you're playing, or is it mostly just like ambient?
Is it akin to Halo? Because Halo has an awesome score.
So they tried. They really did. They hit it out of the park with Halo. I think they wound up batting themselves into a triple play with Destiny.
Right. Because still, that's staff worthy, man. That'll get you a 500.
That'll get you on base.
Get you a couple of
runs. It didn't do anything for me like Halo does. Like the soundtrack hits you in Halo, and man, you know you're in there. But for Destiny, it's like I usually turn that one down or off if I can.
That's disappointing. Because Halo was like, the music is so inspiring. Like, as soon as it starts hitting, you're like, I want to be a Spartan. I want to put on the Mjolnir armor. I want to go fight the Covenant. You know, and you get goosebumps. Like, it starts going into that Gregorian chant, and then it starts getting those hard guitar riffs. You know, and you're like, yeah, I'm amped up. Let's go kill some aliens. Let's do this.
See, I'd have to look and see whether or not it's the same music director. I don't think so, because it just feels different. And I mean, it could be.
Well, and that's understandable, too. They want it to be its own unique thing. Yeah.
Well, even the best will write a sticker every now and then.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you realize how much the music can make a difference. They actually did in Hampton a showing of Ben-Hur, but they had a live band come do the music because it was, you know, back then it was all orchestral composition. Mm-hmm. And it's there's something about music that just speaks to you when no matter what you're doing. I know some authors have even started like recommending soundtracks to read for each chapter. Whatever they were listening to. If they listen while they write, they'd be like, this is what I was listening as I wrote this. Like I dictate, so that wouldn't work for me. The idea is that it's inspiring. Like there's been times I've been listening to hard music and you're driving. I'm like, holy crap, I'm doing 100 miles an hour. Better slow down. And if you get pulled over, you're like, oh, I'm sorry, officer, I was listening to Metallica. I'm like, oh, okay. You get a warning.
I'm sorry, I was listening to DMX. This one just was a what do you know the kids say? It's a banger. This song's a banger. I'm like, I'm listening to DMX.
Is that what the kids say? It's hard to keep up.
That's what the kids are saying now. I don't know. I have to look at my adult to kid thesaurus and dictionary. No cap, dead ass.
I listen to a lot of Sabaton when I'm doing the prepping for the podcast, where I'm like editing all the video and doing all that stuff. I'm all about some Sabaton, but
I'll throw some of the classic metal stuff, which Pandora sometimes gets it wrong and throws in like hairband metal. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, Poison's good and all, but I was kind of like really trying to get into this Megadeth glam rock going on. Yeah.
Do you want to know what soul crushing feels like? Walk into an elevator at your local hospital. I was taking my mom to some appointments and they had
Guns N' Roses.
They were playing Guns N' Roses as instrumental in the elevator music.
Is it Sweet Child of Mine?
Yes. I'm like, it's not music. You shut your mouth. And then when you go to the grocery store and they're playing it, oh my goodness. You just want to rage out. Like, give me the manager now. It's time to go Karen.
Like, someone's about to get hit with a bag of grapes.
No, so I'm
not old, damn it. Still a young man.
The worst one recently where, it's not that recent, a couple of years ago. A buddy of mine sent me a message saying, hey, weren't you in the 155s? I was like, yeah. He sends me a picture, open air museum of the vehicle that I was trained on.
Oh, wow.
He's like, feel old yet?
I can relate to that, but not in the same way. When we came back from Iraq, the Fort Eustis Transportation Museum did an exhibit on the gun trucks of EWAT. And so some of the people I knew personally that hadn't made it home were like on the wall. And I'm like, nope, never coming back. I'm not old enough to see my friends in museums.
Nope. Right.
It was surreal to see that kind of, when you see that kind of stuff. And I'm like, nope, I remember that. Not old enough. Yeah. So Halo, when you did the player versus player, like you could actually talk to them through the headset. Did Destiny allow you to do that?
I think it was limited to team talk for the most part.
So you didn't get any of the rage bait where you cuss each other out and threaten to
elope? Oh, no, you got that because your teammates were often very mad at you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with your mom and make me your stepdad or something.
Oh,
people.
I
love it when a 12-year-old says that.
And I used it against a boy because I introduced him to Halo but with the Master Chief Collection. So I let him set the settings, and he just wanted Jeeps and rocket launchers. So he's just blowing me out of everything. And I'm like, hold on, let me fix one thing to make it, you know, fair. And I put the ghost in there so I could fly around and I was just doing strafing runs on him. I'm like, you hit me with that rocket again? I'm going to find your mother. I'm going to marry her, and I'm going to give her a child that she actually loves. And he stopped and started crying. And I'm like, dude, it's just S talk, man. It's game talk. Like, don't cry.
I did
marry your mother, and I have no capabilities of giving her a child. But if I did, she'd actually love it.
I honestly think that's what, like, between that, what was it, The Simpsons, Ren and Stimpy, all the shows that were so insensitive, South Park, when they were hitting hard, like, it just made you tough. And then you see kids complaining about stuff, and I'm like, really? Like, you're whining about that? Really? Come on, I heard harder insults from my mother.
Yeah, it's like, come on, dude. Like, I'm a Gen Xer. I'm the last of the feral children. Like,
latchkey
we
kids.
Used to roast each other all the time. All the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your mom was like a popular comeback to being insulted. Your mom. You know? and we didn't fight over that. We would just think of something more effed up to say back, you know? So, and even the boomers were like that. You know, the generation that raised the feral children, you know, or didn't raise us. That's why we were feral. But
that would be the key. Yes. Didn't.
That's why Red Foreman, the character Red Foreman from that 70s show, speaks to us now. I'm like, yeah, he makes a lot of sense now that you think about it. Like, he's my spirit animal.
I tell the boy that all the time. He's like, man, that was harsh, Nick. And I'm like, dude, you missed out on my Danny Tanner days. I'm in my Red Foreman phase right now. So quit being a dumbass.
That is kind of funny about that show. It's different parts of your life, you can relate to different characters.
Right. Yeah. I think that's what made the TV of the 80s and 90s so great. It's like, so we start getting into like the late 90s, early 2000s. And like, we don't have Bill Cosby. We don't have the Huxtables. We don't have Danny Tanners. We got Red Foreman. We got the hard dads, the ones that fought in Korea.
Married with children.
Married with children. You know, we get the Ed Bundys, you know, and that's what formulated us. Those were our examples, of mm-hmm. being adults, being parents, you know? So like I had my Danny Tanner phase. I had my Full House phase where I was the happy go lucky. Oh, sweetie. Well, let's talk this out while you skipped school and bombed three orphanages. You know, let's come to a conversation about why that was wrong. And you're grounded for a week, young lady, to the, you know why your head hurts? Because it's your own brain trying to comprehend its own stupidity.
Yeah. Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
Don't let that distract you from the fact that 55 years ago today, Al Bundy scored four touchdowns in a single game while playing
number 33, Polk High.
That's right. While playing in the city championship game. I mean, we had the Huxtables. I remember watching that at Nick at Night. It was on.
Mm-hmm. And then Family Matters. I caught when I was in the hospital. My TV options were limited, and it was like on TBS. It was like Family Matters for like 4.5 hours.
Oh.
And I was like with Urkel and all that. And I'm like, man, I would have rang that kid's neck. I'm surprised he's not ringing that kid's neck.
And now you know why the dad was so large, because he therapied with donuts, because he had to live with
that. Yeah, I mean, he started that in Die Hard.
Yeah, but I mean, he lived with that guy as his neighbor. I'd eat too. Like, give me another.
Wasn't that Twinkies?
Yeah.
The Twinkies, yeah.
That's
I can't remember that. Well, I remember. I don't even remember the actor's name. He's still acting. He's been doing this for freaking forever. But yeah, like, you used to have these wholesome shows.
Yeah, we went way afar with Destiny when you just had a few of us. There wasn't as much to say, so I'm happy we're just BSing at this point. So if you like the game, tell us about it. If you played the game, tell us about it. If you dug the lore, great. If there's anything we didn't talk about that we should have, hit us up, and we're just going to go back to BSing because we're having fun. You're welcome.
Yeah, I just want to let our audience know that I will fall on the sword and download the game off Game Pass, and I guess I'll do a retro review after this.
There you go.
As it eats up all my time and productivity.
So we are working on getting the page on Facebook back up and running. We will be getting the
it should be up by the time this airs.
Oh, yeah, it should be, because I'm going to do that tomorrow. We should be getting the TikTok going, I guess the book talk. We're going to do some stuff there. Once the move is done, Stabby and I are going to coordinate while Nick's at work. About getting some content. Some of it will be from our episodes. I don't know how we're going to do all of it, but we'll figure it out. Maybe some behind-the-scenes stuff, which is mostly just what you see on the show, because that's just who we are. So she'll still get – Stabby will still threaten to stab Nick, and I'll blame him
for 30-second clips of her bringing me a drink before the show starts, or in between like the commercials where I think I have enough time. And next thing you know, you're looking at an empty chair.
Oh, my favorite is afterwards when we stick around to BS and suddenly she's back with the knife, like, your food is getting cold. Did I cook this for nothing?
Oh, dude. That's like 90% of the after show stuff is like, are you like, she asked me, she's like, you're just doing the hour, right? You're not sticking around for like 3 hours after the show. I'm like, I don't know, man. Depends on the guest. Sometimes we just have a really good chill session. She goes, I'm cooking dinner. Yes, ma'am.
the other night,
fried rice.
We were doing that the other night with the Halo one. We ended up sticking around to like 2 a.m. Nick,
yeah, she told me about that. She goes, "No, they didn't go to bed. They didn't log off to like 1 a.m. their time." I'm like, "Oof."
Yeah, I was paying for it the next day.
Oh, like, it's 10 o'clock my time, but I would have stuck around.
It was good.
But she wanted to feed me or something. So I'm like, okay,
she's trying to keep you healthy. She's got to up that life insurance before she lets you go.
Man, she cooks very good, unhealthy food. It's pastas, you know, because she's Sicilian. So, like, I'm eating, like, chicken parm, you know, which is fried and then just smothered in marinara sauce and good stuff and cheese, you know, meatballs and spaghetti and all that stuff. And I'm over here complaining when it's some of the best eating years of my life I'm having right now. Because it's not top ramen and hot dogs like when I was in college.
So she, her and I have talked about that because I'm looking at some point in the future. I'd like to get a homestead and get out of the burbs, go back to nature. And she was like, yeah, Nick and I'll just move there and I'll cook for everybody. And you can't complain that I'm making you fat because I can just send you out to chop wood. And I'm like, yeah. I guess she's watched Captain America too many times.
That's a little inside joke in the house too. She's like, come on, Captain America, use your super strength. And I'm like, well, right now it's like the left side doesn't want to work as well as the right side. So I can't tear, you know, cords of wood in half anymore like I used to. Brain don't want to work.
I mean, they do have compressor machines that will split the wood for you. You just put it on there and it's like,
yeah, ee-ee. Hydraulic ones. I've seen them. Yeah. They're awesome.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Slap it in there, and I'm like, why don't I just make one of those curved self-feeding fire pits outside, and we just do that. So I get the fire going. We'll stack all the logs right there, and then they'll just burn. You know, when one burns out, another log will fall right in its place.
So I told my stepdad that I was going to be doing the homestead and I wanted a fireplace. And he said, there's a rule with the fireplace, though. You have to have more kids, so you always have one small enough to go into the chimney to clean it for you. The kids yearn for the mines.
They do. Based off popular game stats.
That's right.
Is the fire still hot? Now we'll find out. Go in there, Junior.
Well, it's like like I was at a barbecue last weekend. They had an outside fire pit, and there were like four or five, you know, people sitting there just staring at the fire. And I'm like, "Oh, you guys enjoying some Ranger TV, huh?" And they're like, they all looked at me like I was confused. They're like, "What?" And I'm like, "That's Ranger TV. That's what we used to do. Just stare at the fire."
Yeah, sometimes it's even better when you started the fire.
Oh yeah,
throw a little heat downrange, watch it go.
That's right.
I mean, you haven't lived until you started a range fire on the firing line.
I did it with the Bradleys out in Cozeville. Nice. It was awesome. We destroyed that range with extreme prejudice.
We did that when we were certifying that we knew how to use the claymores. We accidentally started a fire.
So accidentally.
Maybe.
Quick story. When I went through basic demo, it was around the holidays. So I made a C4 snowman up in Fort Lewis. And it had snowed. We had got a good 3 feet of snow. So, and it wasn't very big. It was probably because there's only so much C4 in the world, and we tried to use all of it. So he was about yay big. He was like Frosty Junior. So I put him out there, and we hook him up with the all the cord and all that stuff in the STI. And that thing melted all the snow around it, put in a good 2.5-foot crater and lit some of it on fire.
I'm digging it.
And I'm over here like, because I was a private when I went through there. I was like, oh, I'm going to get so much trouble. The range master, the demo gods, all those guys were like, dude, that was awesome. They were just yucking it up.
The coolest we had was off-market stuff. So they used Tannerite and they built a small frame for it. So that way then they built the snowman around it. And then the job was to shoot the snowman, and it was at the max range. So it's like, I think it was 400 meters where they say the max effective range is right at the end. It's 400 or 600. I can't remember. I've had a few head injuries since then, but it was like, everyone's like, oh, I always hit those. And then you put them in where they actually have to hit it. I'm like, see, I hit it. And they'd be like, no, no, you didn't. And we couldn't figure out why. And then after everyone had gone through, the range NCO gets down, fires one round, and the snowman goes boom. And he's like, if you had hit it, we'd have known. I'm like, oh, my God, I think I just saw Jesus.
I saw Jesus. I saw Ganesh. I saw Yahweh. I saw all the major religions. Buddha. He was there.
Yeah, it was it's when they get creative like that that just makes life more fun.
Yeah, don't trust a demolitions expert who has all of his fingers.
They just didn't live. So,
all right. Guy that's kind of like Yoda hand going on, you're good to go.
Same with shop teachers, although they got rid of most shop classes. If he hasn't cut off at least one of his fingers, what's he even doing? So, dear listener, you'll have noticed that for the last little bit, we've only been doing two episodes a week, Mondays and Fridays. While Nick was recovering, we couldn't record, so we had to reschedule a lot of stuff. So rather than stress ourselves out with constantly like, oh, my God, we have no buffer, we're just going to stack some episodes. There'll be a few instances where we air them three at a time, three a week, just because we promise certain delivery dates if we're doing a show pre-launch. But as a general rule, we're going to wait till we get our buffer back, and then we'll jump right back to three a week because we have fun recording these. And we like doing this with you. So if you notice a little bit of a, you know, stop and start on the Wednesday episodes, that's why.
Jared's been kind enough to not stress me out where I will have another stroke.
Yeah, I'm trying because Marissa said
the next one I'm having, it's going to be on air, dude. It's going to be righteous.
Well, she also said if you pass, she's moving in with me, and I don't know if I can take it and stab that much. So just for my own safety, I got to get alive.
You're used to it. You'll be like, oh man, she cooked a really awesome dinner. It was pot roast and vegetables and potatoes.
But my spleen is on the floor. It's a balancing act.
Oh, she never cuts me that deep. You'll be fine.
She likes you. I don't know that I'll have that benefit. So I don't want
to. If you could replace Liv, she's probably going to like you too.
Well, just don't die, all right? Don't die.
I'm doing my best.
Team America? The famous puppet scene? Team America? The famous.
Oh, yeah. World Police?
I can't love you until you tell me you'll never die. And then you see the puppet pile driver. Hilarious. We should probably stop this conversation right there because that will get not family friendly.
Yeah, we'll start getting into the uncut scenes of that movie, which are hilarious.
That is like the G-Watt era movie in a nutshell. Like, it speaks to me still.
That and Red versus Blue was probably the most quoted stuff when I was there.
Yeah. That Matt Damon line, some people quote it and don't even know why they're quoting it. I'm Kim Jong-un! Kim Jong-un! Oh,
we'd get done meeting some sheik, you know, some town chief, and they'll get back and you're like, what would you think about it? He's like, Matt Damon. Start cracking up.
There are the sad thing is because we try to be family friendly, we slip in the words sometimes. The coolest scene in that movie we can't even talk about.
Yeah.
YouTube would censor the hell out of us.
Ooh, hard.
So before we wrap this up, since it's just the three of us, you know, we don't want to make every episode a 3-hour shindig. If there's anything you want us to talk about, any guests you want us to get back or to get on, you know how to reach us. We'll link all of that at the end in the show notes, and I'll tell you in a minute how to find us. Just let us know if there's anything you want to see. We've got some big plans, but sometimes scheduling is a thing. And, you know, with Nick and Stabby mid-move, that makes, you know, everything a little complicated.
I'm just going to preemptively apologize for that. But, you know, these types of life events happen. So next time you see me, hopefully I'm in that nice little place I found up in the hills where you can see all the stars. There's no light pollution, and I have to make sure Domino doesn't get killed by an eagle or a puma or something.
So are you going to have your firing positions, your hasty positions, your fallback line? You're going to have a good sights of fire, lines of fire? Dude,
you know I'm doing – when I looked at the place, I was like, oh, okay, I got interlocking fields of fire here. I got a natural choke point right here. I got an egress here to the back. I don't know how well I'm going to do with on an egress route with my gimpy butt right now, but –
All I'm just saying, I know where to get some claymores. I'm just saying, theoretically, hypothetically, I might know a guy.
If we get,
Mr. ATF agent, I'm joking.
No, you can make all that stuff from. All you got to do is go to Home Depot. Everything you need's right there.
On that note, we better end this episode before we say something that's going to get us all arrested. All right,
just kidding, ATF. You have to go to Lowe's too.
Jokes on you. We went to the Hobby Lobby instead. JC. What are you writing right now?
So as soon as my laptop finishes installing, I'll be putting the writing software back on there to start working on the Bane urban fantasy story I have in mind. So nice. That's the big one. And then I've got my novel in works. It's a kind of a space opera, sci-fi story. That one's kind of exploring loneliness, which is an odd topic, but it's very interesting how it happens in this one.
Nice. That's a common theme in modern life for a lot of people, so I'll take it. And how can listeners find you?
My website. You can find that. It's just my name, .com. And then I'm also on Twitter, and I do have Facebook. You can send me messages there or, you know, post on my wall or whatever.
Okay. And as far as this is the point of the interview, dear listener, dear viewer, everyone at home in listening land, where I remind you to please be kind and speak your mind on the reviewing platforms. Your reviews help the right readers find the right books, so do your part. It really does help. It makes a huge difference, especially for debut authors or newer authors. You can find us on our Linktree, linktr.ee, Linktree/Blasters and Blades Podcast. Again, Linktree/Blasters and Blades Podcast, where we link to all the things, the bit shoots, the rumbles, the YouTubes, the Twitters. We have our email for professional purposes only, blastersandbladespodcast@gmail.com. We have our Facebook group and Facebook page. We have Madam Stabby Stab's Instagram, Twitter, and email, where you can send all the hate. She loves it. And finally, you can find us on our website at anchor.fm/blasters-and-blades. Again, anchor.fm/blasters-and-blades, where for as little as 99 cents a month, you can help keep the lights on. These episodes aren't free to produce, and every little bit helps. You can support the show more directly over at buymeacoffee.com/author J.R. Handley. Again, buymeacoffee.com/author J.R. Handley. Be sure to put in the comment section that it is for the podcast. And I promise I will keep my co-hosts and returning favorite guests duly caffeinated. They will drink until it pours out of their ears, just because I want to see that for science.
For science.
And if you want to support the show, link is in the show notes for Coffee Brand Coffee, made in the U.S. They're affiliates. We get a little bit of a kickback every time you purchase with that link, and use the code PODCASTGRUNTS for 10% off when you buy your favorite coffee, tea, or hot chocolates. And all of it's delicious. It's what I've been drinking lately. I'm trying to convince the tax man, since it's January and taxes are due, that it's totally a write-off. I don't know if I'm going to win that battle, but I'm going to try.
We got our fingers crossed for you, because I'm in the same boat.
I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to show up and shoot my dog. Ooh, well, maybe. Maybe I got to talk to a lawyer.
They're going to tell me no. They're going to bend my dog tag, send me back to Iraq.
And yeah, I just, you know, some government agencies just don't play around. That's all I'm saying. So thank you for spending some of your precious time with us. For my crazy co-host, I am J.R. Handley, and this was the Blasters and Blades Podcast. We'll be back next week at the same time, where we'll indulge our love of nerd culture, cheesy jokes, and all things that go boom. And you see what happens when Stabby's not there to regulate. Sometimes our jokes go dark, and civilians don't always know what to do with us. But this is the way to live, people. This is our most authentic selves tonight, because no one was here to censor us. And in our defense, Nick, we were left alone.
I was left unsupervised. I have that t-shirt. Like, in my defense, I was left unsupervised.
I need that t-shirt. JT, you need one too. We're going to make this happen.
I do.
All right.
We should all three wear them at the same time.
Yeah.
Actually, when I get the merch going, that might be one of the shirts. We'll have the Blasters and Blades logo, and then we'll just have – well, in our defense, we were left unsupervised.
Yeah, I'm here for it. All right. Thank you, people, and we will see you next time.